feel the presence of the Lord and feel like you're at home. And pray if you need to pray, cry if you need to cry, shout if you need to shout. And love your church, love your preacher's family. And I'll be honest with you, I know you hear this. You don't get this everywhere you go, just the freedom to worship and the Holy Ghost being present, something that's very precious. And you have something very special here. I guess I'll try to preach for a little bit, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter number 22. And try to say a few things that'll help you. And pray the Lord to speak to our hearts. I know at my church, sometimes I do series on Wednesday nights or whatever. I know your pastor usually goes verse by verse. You can't beat that. That's how you grow spiritually and thank God for verse by verse teaching and preaching. And expounding upon the Scriptures is how we learn what the Bible says. But I'm going to read a few verses here and share some thoughts with you that I trust to help us all tonight because it helped me. Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, and I'll read down through about verse number 9. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." I wished I was close enough to God that when he called my name, I responded real quick. And he said, "Now, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." Isn't it amazing he didn't check with mama? He went to daddy. Mama would have had a fit if she'd have known what was going on in this story. God knows when to leave mama alone and leave mama out of it. Thank God for mamas. Amen. I love my mama. But mama, you don't need to know everything God's doing. It'd cause you to have a panic attack. "Get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering." She'd have flipped out. Upon what? I'd have hated to have been God in that story if she had have found out. God done promised him a son, waited till he was about dead to give him to him, and now God's wanting to kill him. Ain't that something? "Upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of," verse 3, "and Abraham rose up early in the morning." He didn't waste any time. "Said, and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand." Boy, it's good to know that there's a daddy that knows how to stay on fire and where the fire is. He said he took a knife too, and they went both of them together. If you would underline that word "together," we'll be coming back to it in a little bit. Bible says in verse number 7, it says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they both went together. And there's that word "together" again. You might want to underline it. "And they came to the place which God had told him of.
And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Look with me in verse number 7, if you will. I want to give you my thought and pray the Lord to help us. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, This is Isaac speaking, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac is going with his daddy. He ain't opened his mouth. He's following his daddy to this place. Mama has no idea where they are. The servants are staying at the bottom of the mountain. And Isaac's beginning to look around. He says, Daddy, we got the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? In other words, what Isaac was really thinking was this. Hey, Daddy, this don't make no sense. And I want to preach to you tonight and try to help you with the help of the Lord on when life don't make sense. You can be seated this evening. If there's ever been a day that we're living in where life don't seem to make sense, it's today. I mean, when you look at America and all that we're going through, it looks like common sense don't make sense to a lot of people anymore. You may be one of those that's in that position tonight where life don't make any sense to you. Maybe you are trying to make sense out of everything that God is trying to do around you in your life. Let me say this. Just because life ain't making sense to you right now does not mean you're not in the will of God. Isaac was in the direct will of God, and yet his life at this time didn't make no sense. A lot of times we think that, well, I must be doing something wrong if I'm in a mess and I can't figure this thing out. Sometimes God can't share everything right at first. We've got to go through a few things. But I learned it's okay to ask a few questions. There's nothing wrong with asking questions when your life don't make any sense. I would say tonight all of our minds are filled with questions, and maybe we're looking for answers just like Isaac was here in this story. Who else better to go to than his daddy for answers in life? Daddy, that ought to tell us something that we ought to take time to answer some of the questions that our children have, because life don't make sense to our youngins a lot of times. They're looking for a daddy that can make sense out of nonsense. They don't understand a lot of things. Abraham knew God well enough to know that God was going to provide. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, children, daddies, even when we don't know what's going to take place and how God's going to do it, just tell you youngins that God will provide, because He's a providing God. Let me give you two or three things about this story. Isaac was concerned about the lamb. He said, Daddy, we've got the wood and we've got the fire, but we ain't got no lamb. Can I go ahead and open up a can of beans and say that life never makes any sense without the lamb? Hey, friend, if the lamb ain't in your life, you don't make no sense. Child of God, aren't you glad, though, that we know where the lamb is? Amen. There's a lot of people trying to make sense out of life, and the lamb ain't in the life, but aren't you glad for the day that God put the lamb in your life and made sense out of your life when life didn't make no sense? Life don't make no sense without the lamb. Without the Lamb, let me give you two or three things by way of introduction. I'll move fast. Without the Lamb, their trip would have been wasted. I want you to notice here in verse number 4. The Bible says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. They'd been traveling for 3 days, toting fire and wood. And it was still a long ways before they was going to get to the place where they was supposed to make sense out of it. But have you ever got to the place where you knew God wanted you to be and you still couldn't make no sense out of it? Have you ever been to that place and you knew you was going where God would have you to go and you still couldn't figure out what God was doing in your life? They'd traveled 3 days, day and night, nonstop. They was going to the place that God had told Abraham to go. And friend, I can tell you, without a lamb for a sacrifice, there could be no way their trip would have been worthwhile. Their trip would have been wasted were it not for a lamb. Can I tell you tonight, if it wasn't for the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, our trip tonight would have been wasted. Our trip in life would have been wasted. Number two, without the lamb, their trip would have been wasted. Number two, if you'll notice in verse number 6, you'll see their tool would have been worthless. Look at verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a what? Whoa! He had a fire and he had the wood. He had a knife. What good was a knife without a lamb? And we all know according to Ephesians chapter number 6 that the Word of God is a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In typology, the Bible, the Word of God is a type of knife. Abraham and Isaac, they had the wood, and they had the fire, and they had the knife. But that knife wasn't no good without a lamb. Oh, I'm feeling something down in the gable end of my soul right here. Friend, let me tell you, I love my sword. I thank God for this blessed old book. Thank God for my King James Bible. I love it. It's my sword. It's my comforter. It's my help. But what good is your Bible without a lamb? Your Bible ain't no good without a lamb. This thing ain't no good without a lamb. I'm glad there's a lamb in the book. Thank God for the lamb! Isaac's looking around, Daddy, you mean to tell me we've walked 3 days? We ain't got there yet. Mama don't know where we are. Cell phone ain't got no service. We ain't stopped by McDonald's and got us a Big Mac value meal. Now we gotta climb up this mountain. I've got the wood on my back. You toting fire and a knife. Daddy, this don't make no sense. You mean you drug us all the way down here and the most important ingredient ain't even here? By the way, what you gonna do with that sword over there? What you gonna do with that knife? You can't do nothing with that knife cause we ain't even got a lamb here for you to do anything with it. A friend, but oh, aren't you glad there's a lamb for the Word of God? That's what makes the Word of God so wonderful, is that you got a lamb. Number three, without the lamb, life don't make no sense. Trip would have been wasted. And by the way, if the lamb ain't in your life tonight, you're wasting your time. Two, would have been worthless. This Bible you got in your hand ain't worth nothing without the lamb. This book don't even make sense without the Lamb. Don't make no sense at all without Him. But number three, their trial would have been worship. Notice verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham said, Isaac, come on, let's go up here on the mountain. We're going to go up here and worship. And Abraham said to Isaac, let's go, son. And Isaac said, Daddy, I know we've got the fire. And let me say this, fire's good in a church. Thank God for a church that's got some fire about it. Thank God for a church that's on fire for God. Thank God for a church that's got a knife, that's got the Word of God, that cuts our flesh and circumcises the fleshly heart that we have. Thank God for a church that's got the wood. That's what the sacrifice was to be laid upon. Thank God for a church that has a log to put on the fire to keep the fire burning every now and then. But that's all well and good. But you can't worship without the Lamb. You cannot worship, and a lot of churches are trying to make sense out of life. And you can never worship if you ain't got the Lamb. You gotta have the Lamb. Isaac saying, Daddy, this just don't make no sense. You ought to thank God that you've got a church that you can go to and worship. Because of the Lamb. Let me give you three things by way of a message and I'm done. Number one, when life don't make no sense, it's good to know that we have the Father's presence. I want you to notice in verse number 6. Remember that little word together? I told you to underline. We was going to come back to it in a minute. The Bible says in the latter part of that, it says, and they went both of them together. Look with me in verse number 8. The Bible says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I love spending time with my daddy. We didn't argue, but once down the road, coming down here Monday, didn't even have to stop and fight none. That's the first time we've ever been down here and not had to pull over and fight. I'm still trying to pay him back for all them whoopings I got when I was a kid, and I don't believe I've caught up with it yet. It's a funny thing, every time I try to whoop him, I look at him and I feel sorry for him because he's so old now, I'd hate to hurt him. Now, if truth be known, my daddy's in good shape. He'd probably still whoop me. I'd let him whoop me. I love spending time with my daddy. My daddy's been there for me a lot of times when life didn't make no sense. Daddies, we need some men that's going to stand up and be with our youngins. Be a daddy that's going to be there in hard times and not run. You want me to tell you why I feel like that God got Abraham away from his wife for just a little while? It's because he knew he put Abraham into a position to where he had to be daddy. Mama couldn't be there because usually it's the mama that's running to the need of the youngins to try to help them. Most of the time we as daddies ain't got time for our youngins. But thank God for a daddy how to take time with his youngins and be there with him and help him understand life when it don't make no sense. I was thinking about this. Where would we be at tonight if it wasn't for God that was there when life didn't make no sense? My daddy's always been there for me. Anytime I've called on my daddy, he's been there. Don't make no difference. Now he's got into this text and stuff. I don't have to call him, I can text him. He's got about 3/4 of a thumb on his right hand. Last night I was down there in the prophet's chamber texting. Daddy said, boy, you just a getting with that thing. I said, yeah, I got a full thumb. I can do it good. He's almost 70 years old and starting to text. Any of you other 70-year-old men texting in here? Y'all see my daddy, he'll give classes on that. Won't be charging you nothing. Nothing I enjoy any more than a lot of days I'll get up early in the morning, I'll check my phone for phone calls as a pastor. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's sick, who's dead, who's mad, who's stomach upset, who's leaving, who's coming, who's going. And it's really kind of, you know, you just don't never know. I'll see a text on there, and it'll be from Daddy to say, "Love you, son, Dad." First thing I see. Sometimes throughout the day, on Sunday morning, Daddy will send me a text praying for you this morning. Love, Dad. You never know what that does to a youngin. To know that my daddy or my earthly father is there. But I do know as time goes by, and it's getting gone real quick. I look at my daddy. My daddy will soon be 70 years old. Don't look a day over 80, does he? He'll soon be 70 years old. And if the Lord tarries his coming, chances are I may possibly outlive my dad. He's almost got everything he was guaranteed. He's going to be soon living on credit. And I don't know how much credit he's got. He used up most of it down here at the bank. There may come a time in the next few years, if I continue to travel down here to Georgia and be with you people, and I don't see anything that's going to interfere that relationship I have with you, preacher. He's like another daddy to me. But I may come down here sometime and my daddy may not be alone for the trip. I may come down here and I might come down here and feel like I'm all by myself, Brother Felton, because I love spending time with my daddy. And all the times that me and him's enjoyed coming down the road, fighting and fussing and arguing. Cutting up, laughing. There's going to come a time that all of that may possibly be over. And the same is true for every one of you that are in here. There's going to come a time where your earthly father ain't here. And some of you, your earthly father may already be gone. But isn't it good to know when our earthly father may check out? Hallelujah! That's always present when life don't make no sense. It's good to know we have the Father's presence to talk to. Verse 7, it says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham and said, My father, ain't it good to have a father to talk to? Not just an earthly father, but a heavenly father." Something that was wonderful tonight when that little boy got over here and started singing that song. I was like, my goodness, it won't be long. He'll be gone from here singing on the road. Just hope and pray don't turn into a diesel sniffer. That'd be... And then this guy was over here singing over here, and that little girl, I don't know who that little girl was over here singing, but my goodness, gracious alive. And then Miss Renee, and I was like, Lord, have mercy. That little girl, I don't know who she was. She was singing over here, and that was some of the most beautiful singing I've ever heard in all of my life from a little girl. I don't know where she's at or how. There you are. How old are you, honey? How old? 3? 5. And I got to noticing while I was sitting over there in the corner, I was just paying attention as to what was going on. And it wasn't but just a minute. Here come a little girl. Balled up in the altar right there. I don't know where that little youngin' is, but I watched that little girl curl up in that altar. I don't know what she's praying about. Have no idea. Let me tell you what she's doing. She'd paid attention to some of you other folk around here, and she'd seen some of y'all get in the altar and crawl up and talk to God, trying to make sense out of your life when you couldn't make no sense out of it. Ain't it good to have a Heavenly Father how to talk to when you're going through life and you can't make no sense? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forever.
To trust in. To talk to. Number two, when life don't make no sense, it's good to know that we have not only the Father's presence, but it's good to know we have the faithful provider. Look with me in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide."
You may say right here, "My life ain't making no sense." You just need to remember, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. You say, "Preacher, I know I've heard that, but I'm looking around. I see the wood and the fire and the knife, but I don't see the most important thing. I can't make no sense." That's God's business. You let God take care of it. God said He would, He will. He'll provide. He'll provide. God will provide. It's a fact. It's a fact.
Watch this. If you don't get anything else I say tonight, this is a Wednesday night Bible study, whether y'all figured it out or not. Watch what Abraham said in that verse 8. Watch. "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for Himself a what?" Now, if you will, look over here in verse number 13. The Bible says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a what?" Whoa. Abraham said, "God shall provide Himself a what?" And he looked over behind him and there was a ram. There's a difference between a ram and a lamb. The ram was caught in the thicket, and we know it was caught by its horns. And the reason it had to be caught by its horns is because that's the only place on a ram's body that it wouldn't bruise. We know that. Had to be a perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, and that's the only place that it wouldn't bruise. But wait a minute. Abraham said God will provide Himself a lamb. But He got a ram. Why is that? What? Because Abraham was looking so far beyond his present situation and circumstances, God showed him a lamb in the New Testament. There was a ram that was provided, but the lamb hadn't been sent yet. The lamb was a-coming. And the lamb had been provided, but the lamb hadn't been sent yet. That's a picture of, in your life, there's going to be times when life don't make no sense. That's just some way that God tries to get you there to show you something even more beautiful than you ever could have thought. Let me tell you what Abraham saw. It wasn't just a lamb that he saw, but he saw Jesus there at Calvary. He saw the redemption of man. Aren't you glad when life don't make no sense? God's got it all figured out. He wasn't lying. God has a way of providing. By the way, everything about Jesus and His incarnation, which is when Jesus took on the bodily form of a man, He was God in the flesh, but nothing, humanly speaking, makes sense about the incarnation of the Son of Man. You can't explain it. It don't make no sense.
Born of a virgin, never had been with a man. Don't make no sense. He was king, but yet he was poor. That don't make no sense. He fed the multitudes, but yet he set a hunger. That don't make no sense. He left the portals of glory, but yet he said he had nowhere to lay his head. He was despised and rejected by all men, yet he became a friend to all. It don't make no sense. He never sinned, he never committed one wrong thing. Yet he was crucified for the sins of the whole world. That don't make no sense. The child of God, when it don't make no sense, that's just God's way of providing the Lamb in a time of chaos. That's God's way of doing things. And you ought to thank God for the Lamb. That's more important than you know. Let me say this. Before I get to my life, Abraham was a very wealthy man. He had lots of cattle. He had lots of land. He had lots of wealth. Lots of pigs, probably, if they had them. Goats. Isaac was raised up in a home that had need of nothing. But yet Isaac was in a situation that he saw that the lamb was the most important thing. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much land you got. I don't care how much your job pays you. I don't care how much land, how many houses, how many cars. It don't make none of it makes any sense. If the lamb ain't in it, it don't make no sense. Give you this last point and I'm done. When life don't make no sense, it's good to know we have the Father's presence, the faithful provider. But in verse 11 and 12, it might take me a minute to show this to you, but you're going to like it. It's good to know we have a freeing procedure. Now, if you'll notice here, in verses number 9, watch this. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Watch your Bible. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And then the angel of the Lord tapped him on the shoulder, called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Watch this. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Watch. Abraham's straddle of his boy. He's laid his son on the altar. He's bound him up. He's had the altar made. He's got the wood down there. He's getting ready to light the fire. But he's laid his boy on the altar. Now his daddy's on the straddle of his boy, getting ready to take his knife and kill his only son. But instead of killing him, the angel tapped him on the shoulder and said, Do your son no harm. So what'd he do? He cut the boy loose and he went over here and he got the ram that was caught in the thicket. Are y'all with me? Watch this. You remember I told you that knife is symbolic to the Word. It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Now let me share something with all of you tonight. Before you and I was set free, life didn't make no sense. We was laying there on the altar and we was condemned under the judgment of God. Condemned to die. But the same tool that had us condemned. Glory! Is the same tool that God used to cut us free and set us loose. Thank God for the day that God used the Word of God how to cut me loose where I was. And now we're a free people. We've been set free and life makes sense because the Word has set you free. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. This I know. Aren't you glad that God, instead of killing us, He cut us free. And that ram was a propitiation and a substitute for His only Son. You're sitting here tonight and you're saying, "Preacher, life just don't make no sense to me." Put yourself in Isaac's shoes. What if your daddy come home and said, "Come on, boy, let's go. We're going deer hunting." And then he sits in the stand with you and he cocks that rifle and points it right at your head. This don't make no sense. Life has a way of getting us all in a place, but tonight if you're in that place, it doesn't mean you're out of the will of God in it all. God has set you free. And thank God for it. Preacher, I'm done.